today was the art of the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. Very interesting personality, the Chida. A guy in Olam Mamish. There was nothing which he saw, which he ever forgot. An amazing life. Very few tzaddikim had a life like the Chida. He was somebody who was makubal by all walks of Yiddishkeit, by all the tzaddikim of his time and later. He was mefursam. He never accepted a shteller or a bonus. In fact, he spent much of his life traveling across the world at the time, which was not like today. Collecting money, raising money for Moisdeis of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, for Aniye Tamid HaChachamim. And he would send money back to Eretz Yisrael. This was his lot. The way that this became, he lived in a time of very great tzaddikim as well. He was part of the chavraya of the famous Mekubal, the Rashash, Shalom Sharabi, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. And the story goes, although I didn't see it in these Sfarim, which I looked at before coming, but I had seen it a number of years ago, that once the Chida and the Rashash and the very close Talmud of the Rashash, the Taras Chacham, they got together quietly, secretly, in a covert effort to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. And whatever went on in that private room, we don't know exactly what that meant. Obviously had to do with certain tfilos and yichudim. And the result obviously was not successful. The Satan, or a malach, appeared to them and said, because you failed in this attempt, in this war against me, so the three of you, for the rest of your lives, will have the following lot. It was nigzer on the Taras Chacham that he should die. It was nigzer on the Rashash that he should live a life of Yisurin. And it was nigzer on the Chida that he should live a life wandering the world. So of course he took that as an opportunity to raise money. Moizdis. It was not Navanad Yeba'aretz. That was his lot. It wasn't something that he chose, but it was something that was nigzer on him. And he was very meticulous in documenting all of his travels. It should be known that he wrote 71 Sfarim. Despite the fact that he was constantly on the road. In fact, there were some times where I think he was in jail and he wrote for 14 days and he wrote an entire sefer while he was in jail. And he describes his travels daily, weekly, monthly. He almost got killed by a Yishmaeli. He was in prison and all different types of things happened on these travels. So we know a lot about his life because he documented it. He wrote his first sefer when he was 12 years old. And as an example of his memory, which was just pile plim, when he came to Paris, and he was very well known, he tried to stay under the radar, but everywhere he went, people knew who he was. And he was respected in the world, not just by Talmid Chachamim, by the Jewish people, but even by royalty and the Goyim. They saw his Hadras Panim and they had heard of his acclaim, and they would seek his counsel and his wisdom. When he came to Paris, so he did a certain taiva. I don't know if he did a taiva for the queen, or he found chen in the eyes of the queen. So she invited him to come into the special library, a reserved library which was off limits to most people. And when he came there, he records and he says that I saw there 5,000 kisvei yad of Chachmei Yisrael. You can imagine how many svarim we don't have. Okay, look around the room. We have a lot of svarim here. There's many thousands of svarim which were written by tzaddikim, which we have no idea about. So much Torah which has been lost. And of course, Rabbi Nachman has a very famous Torah about that. But he said, I saw 5,000 svarim, and he says that he perused through all the svarim. All of them. And he had such an amazing memory that he was able to give over, to record svarim, which he had seen, and to transcribe them, and to revive them. That's how amazing his memory was. But he was a goyin olam in every aspect of Torah. Every aspect of Torah. The Rebbe Reb Elimelech said about him that he lived in the times of the uprising of the Maskilim. And he said that the reason why the Torah of the Chidah have such a chain, and it could be seen that the people who learned the Torah of the Chidah, there was a certain kufa that I learned a nice amount of the Torah of the Chidah, the Mamish is so sweet. Mamish is a sweet, sweet, sweet Torah, and his Lashon is... He was a poet. He was a person who wore so many hats, and he was talented in so many areas. So the Rebbe Elimelech said about him that it was his svarim that he wrote, which was one of the big forces against the Haskalah movement. And so therefore, Rebbe Elimelech said, even now that there's not a troubles with the maskilim, is that anybody who learns the svarim of the Chidah, it's mesugal for Emunah and Yerushalayim. That's what it came down into this world for. In his travels around the world, he met many, many Gedolei Yisrael. He met the Pnei Yeshua, and he met other big rabbis and tzaddikim. When he met the Pnei Yeshua, he said that he had mamash the tzur of a malach elokim. That's what he said about the Pnei Yeshua. Tzur of a malach elokim. In fact, when he was 19 years old, he was living in Eretz Yisrael, and that was the time when the Racham HaKadosh came to Eretz Yisrael and settled in Tzfat. And he spent some time learning in the yeshiva of the Racham HaKadosh. And he describes, I can't find the lashon right now, about the time which he spent there, and how he described the Racham HaKadosh. Chaval. I can't find it. Yeah. He tells over a story. It's told over the following story about one interaction with the Racham HaKadosh. That he was once by the Racham HaKadosh by Shal Shudas time. And when it came time to leave, so a very heavy rain started to come down, and he couldn't walk. So he tried to knock to come back into the house of the Racham HaKadosh, but the door was locked. And he was knocking and knocking, and he was waiting. He was getting drenched. So after a short time, the Racham HaKadosh opened the door and he let him in. So the Chidah was very surprised, and he didn't really have to ask. So the Racham HaKadosh knew his kasha. So he said, "Shuldix, I'm sorry, the Elyonavi was here." And we were talking about certain Yonim Nisgavim, which I couldn't absolve myself of his presence. I needed to finish the conversation with him. I'll tell you one thing which he told me. One thing he told me is that when you say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos on Friday night, you should say it standing up. Why this is like such a big deal? Like only the tzaddikim know, like, you know, what should be done in the Seder, how it is. So to us, this is like, you know, we're already standing from the Chadoidi, okay? So we have to stand up. We're standing up. No. Mizmor Shir should be said standing up. Should be said standing up. This was the teaching which Elyonavi told Racham HaKadosh that he told the Chidah. So I expect everybody next week to be standing. <in the church. laughs> Once a Jew came to the Chidah, he was a Ish Pashat. So he asked the Chidah that he should write him a certain Ksav Hamatzah, what's it called? You know, that a person goes around collecting, or like a certification, you know, a certificate, whatever it is, about that he's a great person because he needs to go around collecting, so he needs a haskama from the Chidah. So the Chidah he tried to get out of it. He didn't think this person was such an elevated person. But this guy was a mamash. He would not let up on the chidon. He would come and he pestered him and he said, I need it, I need it, I need it. So the chidon is aniva, so he didn't know how to get out of it. So he had to write him something. So amongst the things that he wrote him was, so, Ilu haya b'mei Elisha, if he would have lived in the times of Elisha, la haya oimid ha-shemen, then the shemen wouldn't have stood. That's what he wrote. Okay, so again, he wasn't really looking, you know, what the Chida wrote exactly, but that was something which he wrote. So he would travel around and he would collect, and people saw it, and people gave them. So he came to one Talmid Chacham, and he saw that, you know, he came with a hamlatza from the Chida, but he's looking at this mensch, and he's like, he's such a pashut a person. I can't imagine the Chida would give him a skama. So he said, can I see? You know, he was the first person to ask, you know, can I see what Vashtate there? Let's see what it says there. So he saw that the Chida wrote there, Ilu haya b'mei Elisha, lo haya oimid ha-shemen. So he said, what does that mean? So he said, I never saw such a hamlatza like this before. So then he understood, because it says in Sefer Melachim that when Elisha was by the Isha Shunamis, he asked her for empty vessels. And he filled those up with shemen. Until then, there was nothing left to fill up. The pasuk says, "Ein oid kli." There was no more kelim. Vayam oid hashemen, and then the shemen stopped. Yeah. So then he understood what he meant. He says that this guy was such a kli rake. He was such an empty person that if he lived in the times of Elisha, so he would have more oil to pour in. Have more oil to pour in. He was an empty kli. It's always good to read the haskamas in Tzfarim. First of all, you feel like a yachas to it, but. I remember hearing stories of you know, from Rebbeim and people who had told me that many times in the hamlatzas that people are given, you know, that you could see read between the lines. It's like, you know, what's really going on. This is an example of that. Ilu haya b'mei Elisha, which sounds like it's going to be something really great. Like it would be, even if it lived in the times of Elisha, could have still poured. Mamish empty, nothing there. This is a ma'isa which is a known ma'isa. To see the ga'inus and the kedusha of the chida. When he was in the city of Liarno, first of all, he passed away in Italy. On his travels, he was buried there. They transported him to Eretz Yisrael, his body. But he passed away in Italy and he was buried there. So once when he was in that city, so a woman was nechshad with a certain man. And the husband came to the Chida asking what he should do. Should he divorce her? What he should do? So the Chida said, I think you should divorce her. So now the Bezin in the town, they were very upset about that. They're going to the Chida and they said, there's no Edim, there's no Hasra, there's nothing. He's giving advice that this man should divorce his wife. So at first the Chida, he said, no. So he convinced the wife to take the get. Because he was pushing very much that this get should happen, and she refused, and she said dvarim chutzpah mamash to him. So he said the following thing. He said, "My Rebbe, the Rechem HaKadosh, gave me a bracha that I should have the kedusha of a kohen." And he said to himself, he said, "I never understood what that means. I should have the kedusha of a kohen." So he said to her, "I'm taking out a chumash." And he started to read the Parsha Saita with the Neginais, with the Ta'am, in the way that it is exactly in the Chumash. And she didn't care. And as she was leaving, the Chida started to read the Pasuk, Va'at ki satis, and you, that you went ahead and you secluded yourself with another man. Yitin Hashem es bitnecha tzava v'sirakech noifeles. And she could not move another step, and then her face started to turn green and her eyes started to bulge from her eyes, and she died a misa mishuna on the spot. And she let out such a cry that people in the surrounding area came to see what had happened, and everybody saw her ra'asu b'kedusha. Everybody saw that what he had paskin was true, and everybody understood ki ish elokim kadoshu, and he made a shem shemayim b'rabim. And he became very well known from that instance as well. But this was a known maisa. That, you know, the Ramban writes that really the whole Torah can be understood b'derech ha-teva, except the Parsha of Saita. It's an eidus that the Torah operates l'malam min ha-teva. And this, the fact that the Chida, after so many generations, that the whole Parsha of Saita was bata, that he was able to perform such a ma'aseh from the bracha from the Archaim HaKadosh, was testimony to the tremendous kedusha and ga'ainus of the chida. Just two more ma'ases. So there was a story which was circulating in his time that there was a Jew, like we say ma'ases, so they were saying ma'ases too. That there was a Jew that he had heard a drasha in a Beis Medrash and he was on fire from the drasha. And he said to himself, what do I need to work anymore? He threw away his whole profession, threw it all away, and he put himself in the Beis Medrash and he started to learn. But he had a lot of things to sell. So he sold his agala, he sold his sus, his transportation to a guy, and he just sat in the Beis Medrash and he learned Torah. What's going to happen? Abishah will provide. So this guy who had bought the agala and the sus, so he was traveling on the derech, and he had chanced upon like a sack of coins, and he saw that he opened it up. It was mamisha. It was an enormous fortune. And he took it with him. And suddenly on the road, he just passed away. So here, this sus now, you know, he has this rider who's now dead and he probably falls off the horse. And the horse is wandering aimlessly. So because it knew its original master, which wasn't so long ago, so he was able to follow the derech back to the yid who was sitting learning the Beis Medrash. So now, came with a whole sack of coins, and now he was a very rich man. So everything worked out beautifully for him. So when this story circulated and became famous, so there was a yid who came into the chida and he says, I don't get it. I've been working in my emunah and bitachon for so many years. So many years. And this doesn't happen to me. How come it's happening to this guy? So the chida said to him, Ein odei meh karka besula la karka charisha. You can't compare a karka which has not been worked to a karka which has been worked. Oso yehudi hemin be'emunah zacha l'chalutin. This Jew, his emunah was complete without any shilas and sfekas and chakiras. I mean, when he put everything away and he went into the Beis Medrash, he had emunah and betachin shleim and Hashem. He says, but you do it and then you think to yourself, maybe, did it. You do it and then you second guess yourself. He says, it's not a difference between you or him. So it's just the quality of the emunah that a Jew has. If he has emunah, betachin, and he's soymech on the Rabbanu Shalom, it could happen to you too. It could happen to you too. When he was once in the city of Pisa, somebody brought before him a baby which was 8 months old, who was sick. And the Rav, the Chida, looked at this child, and he was mamish mishtaimim by looking at this child, and he kissed the child on the forehead, and he started to teach the child the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey, 8 month old baby. Tough shift, then Tashrak, the Aleph Beis backwards. And each time he would say that, the baby would answer him. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey, he was answering him. Answered him. And then he mentioned this in Pasuk to this child. And the child didn't answer. Then the Rav, the Chida, took the child, gave it to the mother. And then the child passed away that night. A few days later, the Chida was invited to a bris milah. And somebody was being misvakeach. They were asking the Chida, "No, where's the Mashiach? Where's the Mashiach? Where's the Mashiach already?" So he says, more than we want Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mashiach Tzidkenu wants to come. But the Sa'or Shebi'isa is ma'akev, but we have Yetzaharas and it prevents him from coming. Then he said, that child, just a few little bit ago, that child was Nishmas Mashiach, he said. But he passed away because of Avainis, that's why he passed away. He said about that child, that's what he had, he saw the child and he kissed it and he saw that there was potential there. So because the Satan is still dancing around Klal Yisrael and makes machlekas and all different types of things, so we're still waiting. We're still waiting. Hashem Yisrach should help us that Chodesh Adar is man marb misimcha. We should be zeichet to that great simcha of the Yisrael Tzadik.